All right, let's jump right in. Today, we're going deep on service excellence.
Ooh, excellent.
Yeah, and we've got some pretty interesting sources.
Lay it on me.
Well, I've got some notes, of course.
Naturally.
And there's this blog post.
Okay.
From a luxury travel company.
Interesting.
And then there's some really cool research findings.
Hit me.
And they all seem to be saying the same thing, basically.
I'm all ears.
Which is that, you know, like, good service, just good service. Mm-hmm. It's not really enough these days.
To cut through the noise, right, you've really got to stand out.
Yeah, exactly. So how do you make these, like, incredible experiences?
Ones that, like, really stick with people.
The kind that keep them coming back for more.
Well, I think what's really interesting is that we're moving away from just transactions, you know?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
It's not just about the product or service anymore.
Right.
It's about the whole experience.
Okay.
Like how the customer feels during the whole thing.
You know, I think about those times when you really feel valued as a customer. You kind of remember those.
Totally.
Makes you want to go back.
It's like they get you. They get what you need.
Yeah, exactly. Those are the moments that build real loyalty, right?
100%. And get this. There's a stat from McKinsey.
Oh.
They say 70% of buying experiences are based on how customers feel.
No way.
Yeah. How they're treated, you know.
Wow, 70%. That's huge.
It's less about the stuff, the tangible things, yeah, you know.
Right.
And more about the emotional impact.
That's really powerful.
Emotions are powerful stuff.
So how do you, like, tap into that?
Well, this is where the four pillars of service excellence come in.
Oh, okay. Tell me more about these pillars.
All right. Pillar number one, customer centricity.
Hmm. Customer centricity.
Really understanding what customers need, what they want, what they expect.
Right.
And then exceeding those expectations.
Got it.
So like the Ritz-Carlton.
Yeah. They're known for good service.
Legendary, really. They do this thing.
What?
They actually give each employee a budget.
A budget.
To resolve guest issues, like on the spot.
Whoa, seriously?
Yeah. They totally trust their staff to make it right.
That's wild. So it's more than just saying, like, the customer's always right.
Way more. It's giving your team the power to actually fix things.
I love that. It's like walking the walk.
Right. Actions speak louder than words, for sure.
So on to pillar number two.
Okay, this one's all about personalization.
Okay.
But with a human touch.
Human touch. Interesting. Why is that so important?
I mean, think about it. Everything's digital these days.
Yeah, true.
It's easy to get caught up in the automation and forget the human side.
It can feel impersonal.
Exactly. And that's where that personal touch comes in.
So like remembering a customer's name.
Exactly. Or knowing their preferences.
Okay, yeah.
Tailoring solutions. Yeah. You know, making it feel personal.
So it's not a one-size-fits-all approach.
Not at all. It's like, remember that blog post from the luxury travel company?
Uh-huh.
They talked about handwritten thank you notes.
A handwritten note?
Really?
Yeah. Such a simple thing.
It is.
But it makes a customer feel like more than just a transaction.
That's true. In a world of emails and texts.
A handwritten note. It's like, wow.
It shows they care.
Exactly. Someone took the time to do that. It makes a difference.
Okay. I'm sold on that one. What's the next pillar?
All right. This one is seamless service design.
Seamless service design. I like that. What is that?
It's all about the customer journey.
Mm-hmm.
Making sure the whole thing is smooth and enjoyable.
So no hiccups.
Ideally, none. Think of a company like Apple.
Apple, good example. Their stuff just works, right?
Right. They're known for their intuitive design and user friendliness.
Makes sense.
People love Apple products for a reason.
Yeah, it's just easy.
Their whole ecosystem is designed to be incredibly user friendly.
You don't need a manual.
Exactly. Things just work.
And that builds trust.
100%.
Mm-hmm.
But let's be real.
What do you mean? Even with the best designs, mistakes happen.
That's true.
Which brings us to the fourth and final pillar.
Okay, hit me.
Service recovery excellence.
Service recovery. So, like, what happens when things go wrong?
Exactly. It's all about how you handle those hiccups.
Mm-hmm.
Responding quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Apologizing sincerely.
Yeah.
And genuinely trying to make things right.
That makes sense. So if a company messes up, they can still recover.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
In fact, research suggests that.
What?
A well-resolved issue can actually lead to stronger customer loyalty.
Really?
Than if the issue hadn't happened at all.
That's kind of surprising.
It seems counterintuitive, but think about it.
Okay, yeah.
When a company goes above and beyond to fix something, it shows they care.
It builds trust. Like, they've got your back.
Exactly. It can actually strengthen the relationship.
I like that. Any companies that stand out in this area?
Tons. Amazon's a great example. Their return policy is amazing.
Oh, yeah. You can return basically anything.
Hassle-free. They really understand how to remove those friction points.
It makes you feel good about shopping with them.
For sure. And that customer-centric approach,
yeah.
It's a huge part of their success.
So we've got these four pillars. They all sound pretty important.
They really are. And here's why you should care.
Okay, why should I care?
Well, Bain & Company did some research.
Okay.
And get this, they found that. Customers are four times more likely to leave a company.
Four times. Wow.
Due to bad service than because of price.
So it's not about being the cheapest.
Not necessarily. If your service is bad, people will walk.
Even if you have the best prices.
It seems crazy, but yeah.
Yeah.
People value a good experience.
So service trumps price.
In many cases, yes. Investing in service excellence pays off.
Literally.
Happy customers are loyal customers.
And loyal customers spend more money.
It's a win-win, like we said before.
It all comes back to those feelings, right?
Totally. Yeah. That McKinsey stat about how customers feel.
70%.
It's all connected.
So it's not just about happy customers.
It's bigger than that. Service excellence affects everything.
Oh, so?
Happier employees.
Makes sense.
More innovation.
Interesting.
And ultimately long-term success for the company.
It sounds like it has a ripple effect.
It really does. It's not just a department or some tactics.
Right.
It's a whole philosophy.
That permeates the whole business.
Exactly.
So it's about moving beyond just the transaction itself.
Yeah.
It's about connection, mm-hmm. creating a more human experience.
That's a great way to put it. Service excellence is at the heart of modern business.
I like that. It's the soul of the business.
It sets companies apart, builds lasting relationships. It's powerful.
It's not just a nice to have. It's essential.
In today's world, absolutely.
Mm.
And that brings us to a big question.
What's that?
How can businesses use technology to enhance the human element of service?
Ah, good point.
Not replace it, but enhance it. That's the key.
It's about finding that balance.
Exactly. Yeah. Using technology strategically to create better experiences.
Yeah, yeah.
Imagine technology that anticipates your needs.
That would be cool.
Enhances those personal touches that make you feel valued.
I can see the potential there.
That's the future of service excellence.
It sounds like there's a lot to unpack there. I'm excited to learn more.
Me too. It's an exciting time to be talking about service excellence.
Okay, so we've talked about these four pillars and why they matter.
Yeah.
But let's see them in action,
and,
you know,
right.
real world examples.
Absolutely. Let's talk about companies that are nailing this service excellence thing.
Okay. Who comes to mind?
Well, we have to start with the Ritz-Carlton.
Of course, the Ritz. They're legendary.
They're known for their incredible service
mm-hmm.
and their customer centricity.
Yeah.
It's next level.
I know they empower their employees, right?
It's not just lip service. Mm. They actually give their employees the power to make decisions.
That directly affect the guest experience.
Exactly. They don't just talk about it. They give them the tools and authority to make things happen.
How do they do that?
Training, for one.
Mm.
Every employee goes through this comprehensive training program.
So they really understand the company's philosophy.
Deeply. And they even give each employee a budget.
A budget?
Yeah. To use it at their discretion.
But what?
To resolve guest issues.
Yeah.
Like right then and there.
Wow. So they can take ownership?
Completely.
Right.
They're trusted to turn a potentially negative experience into a positive one.
I bet there are some amazing stories about that.
Oh, there are tons. Like there was this one employee who jumped into the ocean.
Wait, what?
To retrieve a guest's dentures.
No way.
Yep. Another one arranged for a private plane.
A private plane? For what?
To deliver a kid's teddy bear that they'd left behind.
That's incredible.
These stories, they're extraordinary.
Yeah.
But they show how far the Ritz-Carlton will go.
To make the experience memorable.
And positive.
It's those little things, those extra touches, they make a big difference.
Exactly. It's not just about the grand gestures.
Right. Like that luxury travel blog we mentioned.
The luxury blog, yeah.
They talked about the power of personalization.
Even small details can have a big impact.
They said something about handwritten notes.
Yep. In a world of digital everything.
Right.
A handwritten note.
It's old school.
But it's so meaningful.
It feels personal.
It's like a little gift.
And it shows they care.
That you're more than just a transaction.
Like a real person.
That's pillar number two in action, right?
The personalization with a human touch.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's move on to another company.
Sure. Who's killing it with seamless service design?
Apple.
Apple, of course.
Their products, their services.
They just work.
They're known for being intuitive, easy to use.
You don't need a degree in computer science to figure them out.
Right. That's the beauty of it. They've built this ecosystem where everything is seamless.
I think that's a big part of their appeal.
It's a huge factor in their loyal following.
Things just work. You don't have to fight with them.
They've removed those friction points that drive people crazy.
But even with Apple, sometimes things go wrong.
That's true. Nobody's perfect.
So how do they handle those situations?
Well, that's where service recovery comes in. Think about the Genius Bar.
Oh, the Genius Bar.
It's a brilliant example of service recovery done right.
I've always been curious about that. It's a different approach to tech support.
It is. Instead of the dreaded phone call or online chat,
right,
you can actually go in and talk to a real person.
A genius.
Right. They diagnose the problem, offer solutions.
They get you back on track.
Quickly and efficiently. It takes the stress out of it.
It makes it a more human experience.
Exactly. Speaking of human experiences, let's not forget Amazon.
Oh, Amazon.
They're the masters of service recovery in a way.
How so?
Their return policy, it's legendary.
You can return pretty much anything.
And it's so easy. They've made it completely hassle-free.
I think that's why I feel good shopping there. I know if something's wrong, it's easy to fix.
That's the point. They've built this trust.
Okay, so we've got Ritz-Carlton, Apple, Amazon, all different companies, different industries.
But they all get it.
What's the common thread?
They all understand that the customer is at the center.
Customer centricity.
It's not about grand gestures or spending tons of money.
It's a mindset shift.
Exactly. It's about weaving service excellence into the very fabric of the company.
It becomes part of their culture.
Their DNA.
And it's not just for big companies.
Right? Not at all. Any business can embrace these principles.
So how do we actually do it?
We've talked about the what. Now let's talk about the how.
I like it. Give me the actionable steps.
That's what we'll cover in the next part of our deep dive.
Okay, I'm ready. Okay, so we've explored these pillars, seen them in action.
Yeah.
But how do we, like, actually use this stuff?
Right. How do we apply it?
Our listeners, you know?
In their businesses, their careers.
Even just as customers.
Exactly. Because knowing about it is one thing.
Yeah.
But actually doing something with it.
Right.
That's where the real magic happens.
So let's get practical. What can people do?
All right, let's break it down. Uh-huh. First things first, customer centricity.
Back to the core.
It all starts with the customer. So how do we make sure they're at the center of everything?
Yeah, how do you do that?
Well, one simple but powerful way, feedback.
Oh, feedback, yeah.
But I don't just mean waiting for complaints to roll in.
Right.
You got to be proactive.
Okay, so like surveys.
Surveys are great. Online reviews.
Okay.
Even just talking to your customers.
Like casual conversations.
Exactly. Just asking, hey, how are we doing?
What can we do better?
Yes. It's about creating a dialogue.
Making people feel heard.
Showing them that you care about what they think.
Yeah.
But here's the catch.
What's that?
Getting feedback is only half the battle.
Right.
The real key is what you do with it.
You gotta act on it.
Exactly. Use that feedback to guide your decisions.
So like making changes based on what you hear.
Adjusting your processes, improving your offerings.
It's like a continuous loop.
A cycle of learning and adapting.
Always evolving.
Always striving to get better. Now let's talk about employees.
Okay, employees, yeah.
Remember the Ritz-Carlton example?
Empowering their staff.
Exactly. Empowered employees are crucial to delivering great service.
Makes sense. So training is important.
Investing in training is key. Give your team the skills they need.
Communication, problem solving.
Customer service, best practices, all of that.
And then, like the Ritz, you give them the power to act.
Autonomy is huge. Let them make decisions, take ownership.
It shows you trust them.
And when employees feel trusted,
they step up.
They go above and beyond. And it creates a better experience for everyone.
Speaking of everyone, what about communication within the company?
Oh, internal communication is just as important.
So everyone's on the same page.
Everyone needs to understand the company's commitment to service excellence.
From the top down.
From the CEO to the front line. It has to be a shared vision.
A company culture.
Exactly. And speaking of alignment, let's circle back to technology.
Okay, tech. We talked about finding that balance, right?
Human touch versus automation. It's a tricky one.
So how do we get it right?
Well, think about it this way. Technology should enhance the human element, not replace it.
Okay, so use it strategically.
Right. Like AI can be great for personalization.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Streamlining processes, offering proactive support.
Like those chatbots.
Chatbots can be helpful, but they can't replace human interaction entirely.
There needs to be that option to talk to a real person.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's about finding the right mix.
Mm-hmm.
And never underestimate the power of those small personal touches.
Like remembering a customer's name.
Or sending a handwritten thank you note.
It's the little things.
They go a long way.
Yeah.
Service excellence, it's not a one-time thing.
Right.
It's a journey.
Always striving for better.
Always learning and growing and adapting to what customers need.
It's a challenge.
It is, but it's a rewarding one. Because when you prioritize the customer experience,
what happens?
Good things happen. You get happy customers, engaged employees.
Yeah. Innovation.
Ultimately, a stronger business. Yeah.
It all comes back around.
It does. So as we wrap up today, I want you to think about something.
Okay.
What does service excellence mean to you?
Personally.
Yeah. How can you embody these principles in your everyday life?
Whether you're the customer or the one providing the service.
It's a good question to ask ourselves.
Right.
Because it's bigger than business.
Right.
Service excellence is about creating a more human-centered world.
I like that. Where we all care a little more.
And that's something worth striving for.
Well said. And that brings us to the end of our deep dive.
I hope you enjoyed it.
Thanks for joining us. We hope you learned something new.
And that you're feeling inspired to create more exceptional experiences.
In your own lives and in the world around you. Until next time.
See you then.